Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the PGG Wrightson Annual Results Announcement. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session, at which time, if you would like to ask a question, you will need to press star one on your telephone. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, Tuesday, the 12th of August. I would now like to hand the conference over to your first speaker today, Mr. Mark Dewdney. Thank you, and please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning and welcome to the PGG Wrightson results briefing for the 12 months to 30 June 2014. I'm Mark Dewdney, Chief Executive of PGW, and it is my pleasure to provide an overview for you today of our results for the year. On the call today, we've got Rob Woodgate, our CFO, and Julian Daly, our Company Secretary. I'll talk for about 15 minutes and then we'll have time for questions at the end. I'll cover the financial results and spend a little bit of time talking about the key themes that we see in the markets that we operate in and across our customers, and then I'll share with you some insights into our current group strategy. I'd like to just start, though, by recapping the key points from our announcement to the market earlier today. And before I do that, please note we use operating EBITDA as a key measure of performance within the business. This is a non-GAAP financial accounting measure, and I would refer you to our full accounts for details of how this relates through to our net profit measures. So, in summary, at a headline level, total revenue increased from $1.13 billion to $1.22 billion. Our operating earnings before interest, tax, depreciation and amortization, or operating EBITDA, which I'll refer to through the rest of the presentation, was $58.7 million. That was up from $45.8 million in the previous financial year. Net profit after tax was $42.3 million, up from $27.6 million last year once you adjust out the impairment of goodwill that we put through in our F13 results. Our operating cash flows were strong, $54.7 million in the year completed compared to $39.3 million in the prior year. And as a result of the strong profit growth, strong cash flows, a good balance sheet in our view of the future, we've announced a final dividend of 3.5 cents a share, which brings the full year tax paid dividend to 5.5 cents. I'd just like to note that of that 3.5 cent final dividend, 2.5 cents is what we are referring to as our operating earnings dividend, and we've announced an additional 1 cent, which we are referring to as a special dividend, reflecting the strong capital cash flows through the year. So 2.5 plus 1 being the 3.5 cent final fully imputed dividend. Now, this is our strongest result in several years, and a significant amount of the credit for this result is due to the staff that we have throughout our business who have worked incredibly well, incredibly hard, and have done a great job looking after our relationships with our clients over the year. And as I mentioned at the half-year result announcement, we believe that we are on a steady path to reclaiming our position as a leading option for investors looking for a broad-based exposure to the ongoing strength of New Zealand agriculture and also our growing international agricultural markets. In June of this year, we provided an updated guidance of 56 to 58 million, and very pleased to be able to report that we exceeded that. The agricultural sector has experienced a favourable year, and this shows through in our individual business unit results. Across most of our businesses, we've seen increases in profitability as compared to last year. And this has come through a combination of a strong sector performance, us winning market share, us taking advantage of opportunities through acquisitions, and through maintaining strong margin and cost management focus throughout the company. So I'd like to now just go and talk about our key business unit results. I'll start with retail. So our retail supplies and fruit-fed businesses continued to trade strongly through the year. Combined revenues were up $52 million, or 12%, and operating EBITDA increased by $2.3 million to $25.5 million. We've been working hard on developing our technical expertise, our customer service skills, and our logistics systems, and this is delivering the positive results. We achieved strong sales growth on the back of confidence in the dairy sector, and we have achieved market share growth in the key value-added categories relating to agronomy inputs, with ag, chem and fertiliser in particular seeing strong market share growth. Fruit Fed has continued to improve, buoyed by confidence in its key market sectors. Grapes, apples and kiwi fruit all saw increased market returns, and this flowed through to increased investment in land development and capital spend. Optimism within the pip fruit sector also increased over the past 12 months. The kiwi fruit market is starting to grow strongly, with the new gold varieties coming into production following the destructive PSA virus. In the year finished, we've moved to new premises in Ashburton, Waimate and Culverton, and have more recently returned to our store in Rangiora, which had been closed for earthquake strengthening. And throughout our retail property portfolio, we are undertaking quite a major store refreshment program. So if we go to the seed and grain business now, the seed and grain business reported operating EBITDA of $34 million compared to last year's EBITDA of $26.5 million. Increased operating EBITDA was achieved in our New Zealand seeds, Australian seeds, and international business units. Favourable trading conditions in New Zealand seeds resulted in greater volumes of proprietary grasses being sold. Across all of our proprietary grasses, we sold 322 tonnes more than the prior year. Within our maize business, we saw a 30% uplift in sales, and in addition, the greater proportion of our clean crop brassica system has lifted the overall performance of our proprietary brassica offerings. In Australia, higher volumes of proprietary product were sold, along with greater volumes of retail boxed turf seed following our investment in a new boxing plant. In parallel with this, we reviewed the discounts and rebate programs that we were offering the market, and the combined effect of this and the higher volumes increased our overall profitability. And when we just look at it for the year, we see that we achieved a $2.4 million operating EBITDA increase. In South America, we concluded a significant business restructure during the year. We sold out of our export livestock and our veterinary services joint ventures, and we acquired 100% ownership of our irrigation joint venture. In terms of operating EBITDA, these changes combined with solid margin improvements in Uruguay allowed us to deliver a $1 million improvement from the overall South American operation. In livestock, our operating EBITDA increased by $1.2 million to $13.4 million. Overall, the tallies for all the stock we sold across all of our channels was lower compared to last year. We sold 7.6 million animals in total last year compared to 8.1 the prior year, with the largest decline being in sheep. Notwithstanding the reduced volume of sheep sold, we did see higher prices, with the average sheep unit price up $14 on the prior year. And the reduction in sheep numbers, as you'll know, was a consequence of destocking from last year's drought, along with the ongoing change in land use towards dairy and dairy support. When we look at our dairy volumes, on the other hand, we've had our second highest volume since 2005. This increase was market share driven and is the result of the work we have been doing to improve the quality, size and capacity of our livestock, dairy livestock rep force over the last few years. Cattle and dairy prices both held up well through the 12 months, and we're up on last year's averages. In our live export business. We completed our Vietnam contract in the prior year, and that largely explains the $16 million reduction in revenues when drawing comparison between the two periods. Last year, we formed a new partnership with an Australian company who specialise in the export of live cattle. What that's doing is aligning our expertise and strength in livestock procurement with their expertise in livestock shipping. And interestingly, our first ever shipment of cattle to China left New Zealand yesterday. So that's a great new initiative for us that we believe we will be able to grow in the years to come. Wool was the one major business unit where operating EBITDA was behind last year. It decreased by $1.45 million from a record $7.4 million down to $5.9 million. And that's a direct reflection of the reduction in sheep and therefore wool available to trade through our procurement operation. That reduction in procurement volume was offset, though, by increased sales of wool through our exporting subsidiary Bloch & Behrens. Water operating EBITDA increased by $1.6 million to $6.6 million. In October 2013, we acquired the Water Dynamics and Aquaspec businesses. We made a decision to rebrand our overall water business from what was called irrigation and pumping to PGG Wrightson Water. The integration of the businesses that we acquired was concluded in June, and this extended our footprint from a Canterbury Otago base into a nationwide presence, and it also gave us the additional wholesale supply capability through Aquaspec. The results from the water business have been really positive. The business performed extremely well operationally in responding to the major wind damage that saw a significant number of our clients affected in the Canterbury region. We saw an uplift in revenues from the storm damage work that was largely completed by December and almost a full year of trading of Water Dynamics and Aquaspec. In real estate, operating EBITDA increased by 260% from $1.3 million to $3.3 million. Dairy and dairy support land sales had a major impact on the overall performance of the business, with Otago and Southland having an exceptional year with a number of large farm sales, including the sale of the solid energy portfolio, contributing to this success. We put a lot of effort into our real estate teams, and the knowledge and the experience of our sales force continues to improve. We've also had a number of agents join us in the last 12 months from competing agencies, which is a sign that our guys are on the right track. If I move to the balance sheet now, we continue to improve the strength of our balance sheet. Our overall debt levels at the end of the year were very similar to the prior year. As we mentioned at the half year, we sold our shareholding in Heartland Bank in October for $11.2 million. And in June, we announced the acquisition of the property-owning company Ag Property Holdings Limited that owned 40 properties that were being leased by PGW. The acquisition of those properties provides us with the flexibility to review our property requirements and make decisions that are right for our business today and into the future. We're carrying out a strategic review of the property portfolio now, and the results of that will be announced in the months to come. But the key was to bring the ownership of those properties back under our own control and back onto our balance sheet to then give us the ability to manage those properties. As I said earlier, the strong operating performance, balance sheet strength, and future confidence has allowed us to increase our final dividend to 3.5 cents, fully imputed, comprising the 2.5 cent operating dividend and the 1 cent special dividend. and this dividend will be paid in early October. So let me just change tack now and talk a little bit about our strategy and what we see in the markets that we are operating in. There's a whole lot of things happening in the agricultural sector and across our customer base at the moment, and as we look at our strategy, we're very clear that the key to success in the future for us will be how quickly and how accurately we can anticipate and react to those major themes that are happening. The core strength of our business remains in sheep, beef, arable, horticulture, viticulture, livestock and wool trading, and the wider agronomy sector. And those core strengths will remain at the heart of our strategy. On top of that, though, we see several areas where we have the ability to grow our business further. The size and importance of dairy to the New Zealand economy is widely known, and we're seeing continued shifts in land usage toward dairy and dairy support. Our own dairy strategy is evolving quickly, and we see significant opportunities to grow our overall dairy presence in the years ahead. We're increasingly seeing farms getting bigger and becoming more complicated. With this comes changed requirements of owners and decision makers, which create opportunities for us to service our customers differently now and into the future. Ownership of farms is also evolving with an increasing influence of corporate, foreign and Maori ownership. Technology continues to create solutions, and our opportunity is to utilise technology to improve our internal productivity and to improve the products, solutions and services that we offer our clients. Staff, of course, are the greatest asset that any business has, and in a business like ours, that is absolutely the case. And the reason we've had such a good year is that we've got a strong team, they're focused, they know what our strategy is, and they're performing extremely well. We're continuing to invest a lot of our time and our money into improving the calibre of our staff, particularly with an emphasis on ensuring that our teams have the most technical expertise in the market. So our strategy, overall PGW strategy, centres on three key themes. The first is, how do we improve every part of our business? The second is, how do we grow our business in areas where the market is either growing more quickly than others or where we have relatively low market shares? And also looking for game changers that will allow us to meet our changing customer needs and stay ahead of our competitors. A lot of work has gone into developing this strategy over the past 12 months. And the foundation of the strategy is the notion of one PGW. This reflects the fact that while we have a large number of individual businesses, the key to our success will be the way we work across these businesses to provide our customers with the best products, best technical advice, and highest levels of service and experience. I look forward now. We're confident that we can improve further on this year's operating EBITDA through the delivery of our One PGW strategy. We're not going to provide guidance today. We haven't done that in the past, but our intention will be to provide more information on our progress against our strategy, including a forecast at the annual shareholder meeting currently scheduled for late October. Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes our presentation. At this stage, I'd like to open the line for questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. That's star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Your first question comes from the line of Alan Wood of Fairfax Media. Please ask your question.
All right. Hi, Mark and team. How are you going?
Hey,
I was just interested in this strategic review that you've said you've carried out. Where has it been most intensive, and what can you just talk about a couple of the outcomes or that will be passed into the different operating units, or are there any changes there in terms of the operating units?
Alan, we spent a lot of time over the last 12 months through the business just going back and looking at all the things that were happening in the markets that we operate in, and all the things that were happening within our individual business units. And as I said, we concluded that there were three things we had to do. One, we have to continue to improve our business. That's about our people, our systems, our understanding of our customers, our efficiency and productivity internally, and that's what we call our improve theme. We believe if we can improve in all of those areas, we will be able to grow our market share in all the markets we operate in. But over and above that, we think there are three key areas where we can grow more quickly. The first of those is in the New Zealand dairy market, where our market share position is still lower than it is in sheep, beef, horticulture, arable. So we're putting a lot of focus on product range, technical expertise in dairy, and getting up more dairy farmers' drives. The second is in water, where we believe that we have the opportunity to grow both our pivot irrigation business as well as the technology that applies to water around measuring, monitoring, and managing where water's put on. That was behind our acquisition of Water Dynamics. We also think when we look outside New Zealand, South America offers us the greatest potential for growth. We've got a business that's based in Uruguay. We've been there about 15 years. We started with a couple of million dollars of sales. We're probably sitting around 100 million now. We have a very strong management team. Agriculture is developing quickly in South America, Uruguay, Brazil, starting to evolve in markets like Paraguay, Colombia. So we're looking to take our seed offering, our agri-chemical offering, and our irrigation offering into South America. And the third part of our strategy is what we call game changers, and this is looking for new ways to apply technology to the markets that we're operating in, new partnerships like the export livestock one I spoke about, new business models, potentially bolt-on acquisitions that are within our core areas of strategic focus. There are no businesses that we're in that we would want to be out of. We think the portfolio is good, and we just have to improve, focus on growth, and keep staying ahead of the changing environments we operate in.
Oh, great. Just one secondary question. Just with the prices of dairy products having come back at all, does that hamper or put any cutback on your plans in dairy?
So the forecast Fonterra milk prices down a lot on last year, and I think inevitably that will have some impact on dairy farmer spend. Our market share position, though, in dairy is relatively low still, so we believe that we can offset some of the sector softness with increases in market share, and the major part of our business by revenue and margin still is sheep, beef, arable, horticulture.
Are you saying what share you've got in the dairy and where you might want to get to?
Well, we want to grow it. I don't have a sort of a target number in mind, Alan.
Very good. Okay, thanks.
Your next question comes from the line of Carrie Yeo of FNZ Capital. Please ask your question.
Thank you. Morning, Mark and Rob. Great result, by the way. Well done. The question I guess I have is in relation to sustainability of the current dividend payout. I understand this is obviously the domain of a board ultimately to decide, but from a management perspective, at an ordinary dividend of 4.5 cents per share, do you? That's actually very close to a 100% payout of your normalised earnings. So would appreciate some feedback on that. And my second question is in relation to the depreciation charge. It seems somewhat accelerated in the second half. and I understand that part of it is to do with the write-down of the existing carrying value of your ERP system. Does that imply that there will be significant investment going into 2015?
Okay, so I'll take the two questions, the dividend yield question first. We've spent a lot of time looking at our business KU and looking at what our strategy is going to deliver for us, and two, what the financial forecasts for the business are. There are areas that we clearly see that we can grow and that we will be able to invest in. We're forecasting that we can increase our operating earnings year on year, and we, as a management team and a board, are committed to simultaneously investing in sensible growth and providing our shareholders with fair returns for their investment in the business. So the 4.5 cent operating dividend yield, we believe that that's maintainable in the future. We believe that we can increase profitability. So I wouldn't see us always paying 100% of earnings out. I think we'll see that in the future we will invest wisely first. That will increase earnings, and then we will make a fair payout to our shareholders for their support. The second question around depreciation, I'll ask Rob Woodgate to talk about that from the technical perspective, and then perhaps I'll come back and then talk a little bit about investment around technology after Rob's covered it.
Sure. Kai, you're right, it's an acceleration of depreciation relating to one part of our ERP system. So we use JDE for our retail and livestock businesses. It was installed originally back in April 2009. We've just undergone a pretty significant upgrade, as you would do with those sorts of systems, and we've just reviewed the effective life of that asset that we installed in 2009.
Yeah, technology will certainly be a bigger part of our business in the future, KU. So we've got a series of investment programs that will take place over several years to both improve the core operating ERP systems, as well as invest in mobile technology that will improve productivity of our sales teams and their relationships with farmers. I can see us investing in tools to enable us to capture and process orders on farm rather than having to bring orders back and process them through central ERP systems. So, yep, there'll be ongoing investment. Probably we think that's in the range of 8 to 10 million over the sort of the next 3-year period. And again, manageable off our balance sheet and manageable with the earnings that we are forecasting in the future.
Could I just clarify that point, please? Two points, actually. One for Rob. Rob, that accelerated depreciation charge in the second half, was that accounted for across various division, or was that captured as part of the catch-all element of other categories? And my second question is for Mark, is in relation to the ongoing investment. You talk about a potential opportunity to capture some of the orders on a non-farm basis. Do you envisage going forward, timing-wise, that you'd be able to do this within the next 12 months, or is it more it requires a longer gestation period in terms of your interaction with farmers?
Kai, on your first point, it is under that segment called Other, which includes our corporate functions. So internally, it's managed as a corporate offering.
That's great. Thanks.
Second question, Kai, we're piloting handheld mobile technology in our retail and livestock businesses at the moment. And that's at this stage around the technical offering. So we're gearing our guys up to be able to provide their advice on farm using technology. I would think the capture of orders and things like that will be in that 12 to 24 month window.
That's great. Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of James Baskand of Forsyth Barr. Please ask your question.
Thank you very much. Yeah, just to reiterate Kai's comments, congratulations on the results. Certainly looks very positive from where I sit. But a couple of questions. The retail business, obviously strong growth at the top line. How much of that is a function of the strong commodity price situation versus potentially the market share, underlying market share situation? And are you seeing much competition from the Newfoundland CRT merger?
So certainly the overall spend levels were up last year across the whole sector, James. So some of that increase was market driven. But as I said earlier, we track market share in several key categories, ag chem, fertilizer being two of the major ones, and we know our market share was up. So I'd have difficulty sort of teasing out the two contributing components. Competitively though, you know, it's a highly competitive market. CRT and Farmlands were always strong competitors on their own account, and that hasn't changed since they've merged.
Okay, excellent. And if I look at the margin profile, it's relatively flat on last year for that retail business, even though it was a very strong backdrop. Can we expect margins to improve, or is this very much going to continue to be a commodity type business?
There are components in the business that are, you know, I think using the thinking, you've got more commodity. Some of the bulk fuels, bulk palm kernel, etc. Margins there will always be low, and competition will be intense. The categories we're focusing the most on, James, are the agronomy categories: seed, grain, crops, herbicides, pesticides, fungicides, fertilizer, and that's the category that we're the strongest in. It's the category that requires the most technical expertise. That's what our strength is in the market through both our rural supplies business and our fruit fed business. And in those areas, margins are good. And that's where we're putting, that's where the bulk of our focus is going. It's going into technical training of our teams and a focus around the agronomy, the wider agronomy category. And that's where our seed and grain business links in with our retail business.
Okay, thank you. Just a couple more, if I may. Around the sale of the Four Seasons Feeds business, it was quite a strong performance from the equity accounted earnings side of the company. Can we expect that to therefore fall away around $2 million at a profit or EBITDA line next year?
Yes, it won't. We won't be able to repeat that. That was a transaction which fell out of how we handled agri-foods in the past.
Yeah,
so that's now gone.
So we were a 50% shareholder with I&L, which is a joint venture between Wilmar, Gavilon and RD1. That business structure was set up several years ago, and when that deal was done to sell, it was essentially a molasses business. We owned 100% of it. We sold 50% of it to I&L. And as part of that sale, there was an option for I&L to buy the other share off us, and they exercised that option last year.
So to clarify, there's around $2 million there to the bottom line coming out next year?
Yes. Yep, correct.
That's right.
Okay, cool. That's all from me. Thanks very much, guys.
Thanks, James.
There are no further questions at this time. Please continue.
If there's no more questions, we'll wrap it up, I think. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining. Thank you for your support, and feel free to contact us independently of this call if you have any further questions. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude our call for today. Thank you all for participating. You may all disconnect.